Don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, things will be better. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson.
Welcome to the podcast. My name is Mark, the guy next to me. We haven't done that in a bit of time. The guy next to me is the guy who started his own health care program last week. It's called Sporty Care, or All-Star Care.
There you go. Very nice.
Is that what it is? It's a Sporty Care?
Get a hot dog and a checkup. How's that?
That's very good. Obama. Very good. Cool. Thank you very much, Affordable Care Act. So we don't have time to waste tonight. No time to waste. What do you like? You want to go Tigers Ace playoffs first before we get to the football stuff?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do okay. Tigers, because that is, to me, is real important. As we look to, of course, Game 3 on Monday, but let's talk.
And by the way, we're at the Parker Compound today.
There you go.
We're coming to you live via digital at the Parker Compound, at the Rob Parker Compound.
Even as things are falling out of the ceiling, but don't mention it.
Dude, it's a home. No, what are you going to do? I mean, you want perfect? Don't have a home. Rent, don't buy.
Trust me, I know.
All right, look, Tigers A's on Monday, Game 3, 107. If you get there at 108, you miss first pitch. It's 107 promptly.
Isn't that a weird time? I'm not one of these guys who like to complain about. You know, people always blame baseball. Baseball has nothing to do with the times of the game. The people who pay the loot, Mark, the TV people, dictate the time of the games. How many times I keep hearing fans, oh, I don't understand why baseball, all these night games for the world. It's not them.
Okay, well, you know why it's 107, right? You know why they're all 07s, right?
Why?
It's an extra break.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
But it's an extra spot break in.
But the thing I don't understand, Mark, is that's 10:07. For Oakland A's fans on a Monday morning.
Well,
that's
don't get
weird.
Me started.
That's weird to me.
I think 1 o'clock games, 1975 called, they want their starting time back. I mean, I don't like these early afternoon playoff games.
But you understand, you got to remember, they're trying to get as many games on. And
all four are playing on Monday.
Right, it's a big day. I get it.
It's a 107, 307, 607, and 937.
No, I got it. And I guess the Dodgers are playing the late game, right?
Dodgers are playing 9:37 against Atlanta in Game 3.
So they have really no choice.
Game 4.
They had no choice with the Tigers A's, right?
No choice.
Yeah, it'll be Game 4 because they're playing tonight.
Right. We don't have that final yet for you. We're watching Cards Pirates, in fact, at the Parker Combine. Combine. We're at the Combine. All right, so it's Jared Parker. Speaking of Parker, this is what's throwing me because there's a Parker pitching tomorrow. 12-8 in the regular season, 3.97. Anibal Sanchez. 14-8, 257 ERA in those 202 strikeouts. Let's go back to the first two games before we get to Game 3. Let's face it, here's the deal. 18 innings of baseball, the Tigers found a way to score in one of them. And that was three in Game 1 of the first inning of the whole shooting match.
And can we push it back a little bit further?
Oh, I got the numbers. You want the numbers?
Do you want to go back to the no-hitter in Miami?
Let's go back further.
How many innings is it that they've only scored?
Look, here's your numbers. You want the numbers?
Yeah,
I'm ready
because
for them.
Because they're bad. They're really bad, and everybody's just saying, oh, what do you expect? It's the playoffs. They had a bad game. Dude, it's not a bad game. It's been a bad stretch.
Fine. I was going to hold it. Here's the tail of the tape. They've scored in one of the 18 innings so far in this playoff, right? Two games, 18 innings, scored in one inning. Three runs, but in one inning. In their last 71 innings, the Tigers have scored a run in only 8 of them. In their last 9 games, they have 17 total runs. That's less than 2 per game. That's 9 now. That's significant. That's
what I mean.
Noticeable.
It's a trend, Mark. It's not a 2-game, oh, my God, you know, it's the playoffs. You know, runs are going to be scarce and this and that. I get it. I don't expect them to score 14 runs or anything like that. I don't. Like we saw in the Cardinals Pirates, 9-1 in the first game and then 7-1 in the second game. It was a lot of runs for a playoff game. But this bothers me, and I keep saying, I told you this before. I picked them to go to the World Series before the season started. I don't feel confident. I think they're going to get knocked off, and I've seen this movie before. The worst part this time around, Mark, you don't have Miguel Cabrera. Warning track power, singles hitter. He doesn't scare them. They pitch to him.
This is his brother Manny Cabrera.
Do they pitch to him?
No, they do pitch to him now. This is Manny Cabrera. This is not Miguel Cabrera. It's his evil twin brother, Manny.
The guy who can't hit for power?
Manuel Cabrera.
I'm amazed at how they... Do you see what they went after him yesterday? Went after him.
He has become, with this injury or litany of injuries, a mediocre, average, little above average. He's a little above average of a guy that some people talk about as being the greatest hitter ever, which I always roll my eyes at because, sorry, Ted Williams, Stan Musial, the list goes on. But he has become a guy that is not fearing pitching staffs right now, and they feel like they can take that out of the mix when they game plan. They don't have to say, oh, my God, what are we going to do about Cabrera? Pitch around him. You got Martinez. You got Fielder. So, boy, that makes it a lot easier.
It does, and that's the difference. That's what I'm trying to say. And then, I don't know. I mean, what are the numbers? We could take a look at them with Calvin. I mean, Calvin.
You're thinking of Calvin Johnson, too, which we'll get to.
With Prince. Is Prince a no-show come playoff time? Mark, easy ground balls to second base choppers. You could feed a family of four in the balls he's hitting.
I mean, baseball's so weird because you still got to be able to hit and you got to be able to throw and all that stuff, but you got to find a way. And they're not finding a way to get runs produced. And the problem with this is goes back to the idea that they decided to have a team that didn't small ball it very much. With the exception of really Iglesias and a touch of Infante occasionally, that's really pretty much your small ball guys. Even Austin Jackson doesn't small ball it very much, and that's what I've always liked about Oakland, is that, yeah, they got a couple of home run hitters, but Bob Melvin, former catcher on the Tigers 85 team, in fact, he was a high draft pick by the Tigers, so he loves beating the Tigers. Bob Melvin has a game plan that small balls it if you don't hit the homers. Tigers have no options. There's nowhere to go after that.
Our buddy Bernie Fratto always calls them what? A softball team. It's either all or nothing.
Like Little Caesar softball.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and the problem, Mark, is when you're not hitting, and they don't hit anything out the park anymore. Can you give me the last home run?
The last homer would have been, it might have been either Avila or Andy Dirks. Seriously.
But it's been a minute is what I'm trying to say.
Because Cabrera's only had one since August 20. I still can't get over that
26.
Number.
26. He's got two
That's
extra bases.
August, not September.
26. We're in October now.
And Fielder, Prince hasn't hit one since that line shot drive he hit. That might have been a couple of weeks ago already, though. And after that, Alex had one. Andy Dirks sat on seven forever.
He hit the big one in the tie that game, right, on a Saturday night.
Yes,
who did they play? The White Sox.
White Sox.
White Sox blew
a
6-0 lead.
Right.
Right.
That was when that record-setting comeback, which, by the way, turned out to be the difference in not tying the Indians that game.
Is that not unbelievable when you think back at that?
Yeah. If you want a significant game. So what do you do? Maybe home cooking does them some good. They come back to Comerica.
Also, Peralta is going to play left field. Okay, it was announced. Peralta will play left field, bat sixth, I think. So they're looking. I don't think that they were that keen on it, but I think they felt like they had no choice, Mark, that they needed to add a punch to the offense, and they think maybe Peralta can get it done, even though Dirks has a better batting average than against Jarrett Parker than does Peralta. Peralta actually doesn't hit well against him, which is kind of weird, but they just decide to go with it.
Well, look, you got a win out of Oakland. That's what you want. You always want to split on the road two games. You did your job.
It all sounds nice, but it doesn't feel good.
Well, you think it's phony. See, I don't think it's phony only because they do still have a pitching staff that is capable of throwing long stretches of shutout innings. If they didn't have that, this thing would be over, in my opinion. But they do have that with everybody they throw out there, with the exception of Porcello, who's not going to be a starter in the series. So Fister, Sanchez, all have the ability to go 6, 7, 8. And I know they're going to try to go just 7 and then go turn it over to Smiley and Albuquerque and then eventually, and Veras maybe, and then eventually Benoit. And if Benoit needs to get 4 outs, he tries to get 4 outs, which he did the other day in Game 1. It was phenomenal. That team couldn't have pitched better in Game 1 than they did. That was as good as it gets. What was it, 16 total strikeouts? You got 5, 6 outs from your relief corps. They struck out 5 of them.
And they were fortunate. You know what? Whenever in a game, and you know baseball as well as anybody, whenever you don't add on runs, Mark, after you score in the first, you normally don't win that game. You know what I mean?
It's usually a comeback to the other team.
Right? Yeah. It usually is that you didn't add on. And they had a runner thrown out at the plate. You know what I mean? Which Martinez, again, here's a situation where you can look at Jim Leland and say, Jim, it's late in the game. You got a catcher on second base.
Who can't run.
Why are you not thinking ahead to put in a pinch? It's the 8th inning. It's a big run.
Do you tell me if this isn't the way this worked? When they saw the roster as the season went by and after the trading deadline went past, and they looked at what they had, and then Cabrera all of a sudden tweaks the side, he tweaks the leg, he tweaks the knee, he tweaks the ankle. All of a sudden, this guy is almost paralyzed from the waist down, pretty much. You don't think that they did this number?
Right.
Cross their fingers. Dombrowski and Leland just said, geez, I sure hope this is good enough. Let's just hope this we can ride this pitching horse and hope that that's going to be good enough to get this thing done.
No, I think you're right, but you got to help yourself in those situations. That's all I'm saying. The other night he took out Cabrera in the eighth inning at third base. Remember he took him out? That was
for Ramon Santiago.
I know. He took him out.
He's got pictures of somebody. I love you to death. The Infantiago thing was big. But we're talking 03. We're talking these two guys.
I can't believe he's been around. He's been here 10
years. They were part of the 119 losses. We used to call them Infante and Santiago, Infantiago. Now, Omar Infante eclipsed my expectations.
Oh,
he became an all-star second baseman.
And he can hit.
And he's in. I'm in with him, okay? He can hit. He's a 300 hitter now. He's proven to be that. He can field the position. I'm good. You know, I wish he had a little more speed. But I wish a lot of these guys had a little more speed. I still think that will be their Achilles heel in the end when they can't score runs because they can't hit homers, can't hit the long ball.
No, and that's what that team has done. And to see where they are and people making excuses, you can't make excuses and say, well, it's the playoffs, just the pitching is good. You got to tip your cap to what's his name, Sonny Gray? Sonny Gray, which is just a funny name, Sonny Gray.
Sounds like an old time.
I know.
Got a picture of the 40s for the St. Louis Browns.
No, he does the weather for Fox 2.
Oh, the great late Sonny Elliott.
That's right. But I don't know. I think when you look at the team and you just the feel doesn't feel good. I just go by a feel. That's it. And they don't feel good to me. I know, Mark, they went out to Oakland with one thing in mind. Let's get a split. But when you get two pitching performances like that, those should be two wins. I don't care where
right.
they are.
I'll give you that.
I don't care where you are.
But if I had told you, Rob, in Oakland?
No.
If the A's would score one run in 18 innings?
What? The A's? Yeah.
Or actually, I'm sorry.
That three.
To Cespedes
and
the homer.
Right, about that. I was going to say, three runs.
Three runs in 18 innings.
Right.
One big swing of the bat in game one.
But my point to you about that, Mark, is the same thing with the Tigers. You got to look at that and say, you got to have more than that when you have your two aces. I'm sorry, if they lose Monday, will you feel good with Doug Fister pitching game four?
Yes.
I wouldn't.
I'm good with any of the four starters.
I'm not.
Because I just said, any of those four guys could go long stretches of zeros.
I think you could lose in four games with Fister. I'm sorry.
Did you mention on the podcast last time that you thought the Tigers would split in Oakland or would get swept in Oakland?
No, I said that they would lose. I said I wanted to say they were going to lose in four, but I'm saying five. So I thought it would be a split.
Right, so they're at where you thought they were ending.
Yeah, I didn't.
And what do you think? Are you amending anything right now?
Nah, I think they're gonna lose the series.
I still think they're gonna win in five. Okay. I still think they can go back. Now I know they can go to Oakland and win. It's not a big deal.
I don't know. I don't think they're going back to Oakland. That's why I said I really want to save.
So you don't think they can split this series and go back to Oakland? You're thinking the A's come here and win twice?
There's something wrong with the team, Mark.
43,000 screaming maniacs right on top of them.
I don't care. Are they hitting? I'm just watching. This is you just.
Well,
give, you just
but
gave
they
me
might
the,
they might hit against Jared Parker. I don't know.
You just gave me the numbers for nine games or whatever it was. You just gave me the numbers.
17 runs in nine games.
And the big thing is your big guy. Your two big guys aren't hitting. You're two big guys. So you know what? Yesterday, Mark, when they had the four hits and Don Kelly.
Four hits.
Don Kelly had two infield singles off of people.
That's your buddy.
Those were two of the four, though. Is what I'm saying.
The bigger number to me is 71 innings have been available to score runs in, and the Tigers have scored in eight of them. 63 innings they have not scored a run in those 71 innings over the course of the last nine games. That's really amazing stuff when you have a team that has $200 million at first base, a $300 million guy pretty much at third base, money everywhere for the most part. Torrey Hunter on a big two-year deal. You know, AJ's going to be paid. Austin Jackson has to be paid for what he does as a regular outfielder. We'll get to all that some other time, but still, it is Mark. And I think as Cabrera goes, you can't have it both ways. We do that all the time, right? Can't have it both ways. As Cabrera goes, so go the Tigers. He has not gone well since August.
And Mark, this is the thing that
that still gets to me.
That people don't understand. Ready? He's not going to get well.
No, not
like,
anytime soon.
Like this is the whole. Like, oh no, he's gonna it's gonna click one day.
No, he needs a couple months off.
It's not going to. So you don't have him. That's why I don't feel good about the team.
He needs to have treatments and things and take time. And once the season is over, he'll have that opportunity. Right now, he has to keep going, keep playing, keep practicing, keep taking grounders, and that's the whole point. As long as he still steps in the box for some batting practice, he just keeps tweaking the same things over and over. He needs to shut it down for what you shut it down in an off season. He won't get there until this thing's done. So you're right. You're not going to see the same Cabrera. I mean, to think that Miguel Cabrera has not hit a home run since it was hot and hot and hot in August. It's October.
It's mind-boggling.
It really
That's
is.
What I'm trying to say.
For a guy who had 44 on the season.
That everybody thinks it's just like one day it's going to click. I'm just saying him and Prince, what Prince has shown me, I don't know where they're getting it from. I don't know where they're getting the runs from. If you could tell me where they're getting the runs and the power from, Austin Jackson reverted back to 2 years ago, four strikeouts last night.
No, I know, and you know what? The peripheral guys, you know, Andy Dirks, seriously, you got to be better than you are. Alex Avila, you had that one little thing that happened there at the end, tail end, when you kind of bumped up the average, in, you know, past Mendoza into the 220 range, and, you know. But there's enough peripheral guys who aren't contributing enough.
And to the Iglesias, cause. Same thing, Mark. What is he doing?
And he's a small ball guy who hit 300.
But of late, he's not hitting. No. He's not that same guy. And he's hitting. Every hit he gets is an infield single.
V-Mart's the one guy who had the real great stretch of run producing. And there's some numbers. Two runs. Pirates are up. Just 4-3 can score the one.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of those other games, and we already did the Tigers-A's, speaking of this Cardinals-Pirates series.
I told you I like the Pirates. I told you that. I know the Cardinals
You're openly
are
rooting.
No, I'm not.
You're not rooting?
No, no.
Looks like you had a hand up there when the Pirates.
No, but I mean, you got a hit. Sure. That's all. But
you can root for them.
I don't root for a team. I don't. But do I like the Pirates? Like, as a baseball guy, I like that
But
team.
You can say to yourself, I would like to see the Pirates go to the ALCS
yeah, but
NLCS
but
and go to the World
rooting,
Series.
Like, I'm going to lose sleep if they lose. That's what I'm
what
saying.
What about a Pirates?
No, Pirates Dodgers.
I want to see a Pirates Rays.
Did you see the first two games against the Red Sox?
No, that ain't happening.
Okay.
Boston probably wins in three. Be done with that. Oh, they are playing game three in Tampa. That's the 6:07 start for you people. And what about Atlanta and the Dodgers? Boy, that Craig Kimbrell is something, isn't he?
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's the next Mariano Rivera, really.
He's already Mariano Rivera. He's done this for 4 years. And I'll tell you this.
Mariano did it for 19. I mean,
he's the heir apparent.
I know, like, but I'm not knocking him for 4 years. But get to 10 years or 11 years, and then you tell
no
him.
One's going to do what this guy
no,
did.
No, I know.
Okay, Rivero's in his class by himself.
19 years, Mark, and he was never bad.
And look how he's going out.
Right, on top. With 40, what do you have, 44?
He could sign a three-year deal, and no one would have blinked.
Nope. It's just
right?
amazing. I agree.
In fact, if I'm the Yankees, I'm going, seriously, Mariano.
No, they did. They tried to talk him out of it.
Dude, well, I'd still keep doing it. Still try to keep talking him out of it. Atlanta, the Dodgers.
I told you I like the Dodgers.
Oh, I wanted to say, I thought Kimbrel's the Cy Young Award winner over Kershaw. I like him that much over Clayton Kershaw.
Wow. Kershaw is unbelievable, Mark.
He has been. And he's Matt Stafford's buddy, you know.
Yeah, they went to high school.
They went to high school together.
Yeah.
Went to high school. They're prep stars together. All right, no more baseball because we'll have time to get to the awards. I'm chomping at the bit to do awards, but let's not do that. Let's get to some football. Let's do the Lions and the. All right, Lions and Packers. Here we go, people. No Calvin Johnson, didn't play. He was a scratch. Matt Stafford said he thought Saturday night that Mega would not go. He didn't go, and then you had this like committee of receivers all over the place. There, I think 8 different guys caught passes from Stafford on Sunday against the Pack. But all that really mattered is the final score and a loss again in Wisconsin, 23 in a row. Wah, 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 wah. All the people that still said, you know what? Even if they don't have Cal, there's something about them. They're going to break all these streaks.
Did you hear all that craziness?
All week long. I couldn't believe the people that were willing to go there. And even, you know, I'm going to say it. Calvin could have played 10 times today. I don't think that would have mattered as much as you think it would have.
I totally agree. Watching that game and watching the situation. First of all, the Packers up front, Mark, they had 5 sacks. I think
T.J. Lang, the kid from Eastern Michigan, was amazing. And I'm talking about the offensive line, too, for, in front of Rodgers.
Right. I'm just saying. But the defensive
both
line,
are,
right,
both they,
in the trenches,
trenches
they
yeah.
played great. And our guy, Nick Perry from King High School, you remember he was in it at CHB? Remember we had him on the air?
You brought him in. He was at Detroit King, which was, like, literally walking distance.
This is from where the station was. And you know what? He had a sack today. He's playing really well.
Sack, and I think he had the fumble, the four, he had a... Well, there was no turnovers in the game.
But he knocked the ball
knocked
down,
the ball
and then the Lions got it back. But that was Nick Perry from Detroit.
No turnovers in the game at all on either side.
That was weird. That was a weird.
And, you know, with all those years that Charles Woodson played for Green Bay, it seemed like he always had a pick in those games. I'd like to know the last time. I'll have to look it up. Last
that
time.
Neither team had a turnover or a pick.
In a Lions game.
Right.
For a Lions game against an opponent, when's the last time they even played any game, not just against the Packers, and didn't have a turnover? It might not, for all I know, it's 3 weeks ago, but I don't think so. I got to look that up at some point. But away from that, Lions are 3-2, and then the Packers are 2-2. Mason Crosby kicked 5 field goals. So I will say that the Lions in the red zone did a great job because the one touchdown pass was an 83-yarder from a discount double check. To James Jones. So 83 yards there. The Pack almost doubled him up on yards, total yards in the game. So it's kind of an enigma because their defense played well enough, certainly, to just keep field goals on the board and one Rodgers touchdown pass. But you brought up something to me about Calvin Johnson that either you're going to say now or not say.
No, tell me. What did I say?
You used the word you thought. I'm fine. You said you thought he was an anchor.
Yeah,
what did that mean?
No. I was just playing. I was playing about that.
You were kidding?
Yeah. I didn't mean it like that. I was just saying. I was kidding.
I wanted you to go with it.
No, I was kidding because people are always like all of a sudden they act like they don't need Calvin. You know,
you're afraid to say what you wanted to say.
No, seriously.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Since when have I been afraid to say anything?
You're afraid to say that Calvin Johnson might not be the big help that everybody thinks he is because he catches a bunch of passes.
Nah, he's when he's not scoring touchdowns, I don't like him.
He had what? How many
he
have
five? He had 5 last year.
Okay.
That's no good. I don't care how many yards he has.
He was anointed as the next Jerry Rice last year.
He had five
touchdowns.
That's not good. And I think James Jones led the league with 14.
Do you think, let me ask you a question, though, and on this theme. Do you think this was an opportunity for Schwartz, Scott Linehan, everybody on that team, I don't care, even the defense, even with Gunther Cunningham, to prove they could do something without Calvin in the lineup?
Of course it was, Mark, and this is where you look at your quarterback. And
if they had proven that, maybe it would have shown the other
thing. When we talk about when you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Peyton Manning,
discount double check, please.
Tom Brady and those guys, about the no-name receivers, Mark, getting guys. Jordy Nelson is a star. Did you know Jordy Nelson? Jordy Nelson's a star.
Yes, but Jordy Nelson's been doing this now for a number
I know, but I'm just saying before,
Sometimes in the NFL you get a guy that you end up saying, I got to start to give it up to him. He's been doing it just too long.
That's a guy. That's what I'm saying. Like at first,
Lions
like,
have a guy like that.
At first
I'll give
you
like,
who?
It is in a second. I'll give you it is
okay,
in a second.
But at first you're like, who's Jordy Nelson? You know what I mean? And the guy's been tremendous. All I'm saying is, today would have been a great day for Stafford, Mark, to be able to say, okay, I'm going to make Ryan Broyles into something today. He's going to break out.
Or Chris Durham.
You know what I mean? Right. He's going to break out. I mean, he's going to get 3 touchdowns, and we're going to win on the road without Calvin Johnson. They do that today, Mark. You're looking at Stafford in a different light. This guy took what he had and was able to make it happen. And you don't see that. That's the difference. And nobody's trying to say Matthew Stafford isn't a good quarterback or he shouldn't be the quarterback of the team or anything like that. And somebody called up, and I have to do our research, we both of us, and look it up. And said that Stafford has only beat his record against teams over 500. Is that
true?
He's
only got 1 or 2 wins.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true. It's terrible. He's got like 1 or 2
the
victories.
Guy said it
one
was,
win. I think it's one.
The guy said it was one.
It's one.
He's 1-23 against teams over 500.
Yep, he's beaten all the bad ones, not beating any of the good ones. Totally right.
You got to be kidding
No.
me. You heard that too? Where did you see that?
I thought we've mentioned it before.
That's shocking to me.
Well, who's he beating?
I don't know.
Their record is terrible against the Bears, right? Only now 2 wins because they're McCarthy. Remember I told you what Mike McCarthy's
so
2 thing
years ago, 2 years ago, you know you're right. 2 years ago when they won 10 games, if you go back in that.
Those
I
teams
think,
ended up under 500.
Right, I think all the teams except.
And Dallas was 8-8.
So you look at Dallas, and there was another team that was 8-8, so it won over 500,
right.
So you're right. There were a couple of wins you would say.
This
okay,
is over 500. He's right. beaten, I think, 4 or 5
eight
at 500.
Eight, right, yeah. But no, only one team over 500. That's mind-boggling.
Now, see, the funny thing you say, when you bring this stuff up is, and I think you wanted to use the word Peyton Manning, and Manning's having this unbelievable day again against Dallas. He got to 22 touchdown passes before he finally threw a pick today, or on Sunday, against the Cowboys. But what a run that was. 22 touchdown passes. And then he scored a touchdown, his first in 5 years. Because Peyton Manning makes receivers when he doesn't have his best guys out there. And I'll give you an example of that. He'd already thrown three touchdown passes, Rob. Three. And scored a touchdown before Wes Welker caught a ball. He hadn't caught a ball. Now, the first ball he caught was Manning's fourth touchdown pass of the day. But he had no... This show is terrible, by the way. We Are Men, CBS. Rob, I watched it. Again, I'm going to use that line. 1981 call. They want their sexism back.
Did you like
that? Oh, my... Dude, I can't believe this. This must have been on a scrap heap. Look at this score. 48-48.
Yeah, I think we should just do a pick. I think that set him up. Somebody just...
Romo?
Yeah, I think it was a pick. Bad. Because my thing says, of course, Romo blows it right after I say that. So I guess he blew it.
All right, so
they're within scoring, right?
Okay, here. All right. By the way, this is podcast number 5 if you're scoring at home. And we're doing it from the Rob Parker compound. So no turnovers in the game. I thought here was one of the biggest stats of the game. Yards per play. Lions had 4.5 per play. The Packers had 7 yards per play. This was kind of a weird number. Both teams had 10 drives, and both teams had 64 plays. You don't see that often where both teams had the exact same number of drives and the exact same number of plays. Eddie Lacy was great. He had just about 100 yards rushing. The kid out of Alabama.
99, I think. Yep.
Reggie Bush, only 44 yards. So that, I'll tell you the other guy I was going to mention in a second. And it was, you know, I thought that the Kevin Ogletree pickup, who played for the Dallas Cowboys, was pretty good. He's already got a touchdown catch this year with Tampa. He was the Lions were actually the beneficiary of the stupid stuff that's been going on down at the Buccaneers.
Can I tell you about Kevin? Ready?
He's from Queens.
Grew up in my neighborhood. Yeah. Me and his uncle Mark are like close.
Really?
And you know my nephew Alvin. Yeah. They played together. They played basketball and
you
stuff
You know
together.
Kevin?
Yeah. So it's funny that he's here.
Get him on the podcast.
Well, I know. I mean, I got to go see him down there, but it's just funny. I mean, I really... He's from Jamaica, Queens. He's from around the corner.
He should stick for a while if Burleson's going to be out that long. And, yeah, the Lions don't have Burleson and Calvin today. I get it. But you know what? How many games were they winning when Nate Burleson was rolling?
Calvin Johnson played every game last year, or just about, and they won 4. So for all of
people... No, he played every game.
Right, did he play
first game he missed was... Last time he missed a game in the regular season was 2010.
Okay, so my point is he played every game last year. So don't tell me he didn't play and that's the reason you lost. Where was he last year?
Sidelines, making good money. Here's the guy. Remember you said you talked about Jordy Nelson. Here's the Lions guy that I have to stop thinking can't play the game anymore. Because he's in the lineup, he's a starter, and he's actually producing like crazy. And that's DeAndre Levy. And I've been one of these holdouts on him.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree. He's all over the field. He's making plays.
And this is like what year now? It's his fourth year, fifth year.
Right. No,
at some point, you got to say, you know what? The guy's
good.
Not bad.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I'm not saying he should be Pro Bowl.
No, but he's pretty good. I agree. He's all over the place. He had 2 interceptions. One, right? Should have been 2 pick sixes. The one got called back. Right? Didn't one get called back because of Sue?
He had a couple of really nice plays today. He was in on the sack of Rodgers, and he's all over the place. And like you said, and he's got, you know, Steven Tulloch is a pretty good player. We already knew that. But Ashley Palmer, I don't know what to do with him yet. I think jury's out on that guy as a starting linebacker in the NFL for this team. But DeAndre Levy, funky beard and all, but, you know, I'll give it up to you, finally.
That also, what do we always used to talk
Wisconsin.
About?
Wisconsin.
One thing we always used to talk about. It's not against the rules to pitch a shutout, is it? For the defense to... Did you see what they did to Tom Brady today in Cincinnati?
Oh, man.
Tom Brady had 6 points. Snapped his streak, Mark.
52 games.
Of at least a touchdown in every game for 52. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so the Bengals weren't great on offense today, but you know what? They shut down Tom Brady. Why couldn't the Lions shut down Aaron Rodgers? Pitch a 3-0 shutout or a 6-3 win. Mark, they count.
No, I know, and you got to count the field goals, too, and even though Crosby had to kick 5 of them today, and Rodgers only had the 1 touchdown pass, which isn't easy to do.
Even though the late one that they said wasn't a touchdown was a great pass.
It wasn't a touchdown, though.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. I'm saying it was
a great pass.
Great pass, Mark.
A little tippy-toe would have made it happen, but he didn't get in there. All right, before we take our little podcast break, you mentioned Brady. Just the other stuff with the NFL, and then we'll stop it for a second and then do college and some other stuff that I want to bring up. But Giants are 0-5. Tom Coughlin looks like he's now accepted the fact that they're no good.
Oh, no, they're no good. Because they played at home today, what did they give up, 36 points?
36-21.
And they were up.
And Vic came out of the game.
And Vic wasn't even playing. So that boat sailed. That ship sailed. That's a bad thing.
The Colts beating Seattle. So the Sea Bags take a little bit of a hitch back.
But, Mark, you know what? To be honest, they got lucky at the end against Carolina. They got lucky last week when Schwab threw that bad pick with 2:40 to go. Remember,
Richard,
I was telling
Sherman,
you,
yeah.
Right, in that game. So, I mean, everybody keeps saying they're the greatest team and this and that, but let me tell you, they've been very lucky and their luck ran out.
What about the Chiefs going to 5-0 under Andy Reid, 26-17 at Tennessee?
Who's the quarterback? Don't bring up Andy Reid. Who's the quarterback?
Would be your Alex Smith. I know you love Alex Smith.
It's not that I don't like Kaepernick or whatever, Mark, but he does. What does he not do?
I wasn't comparing to Kaepernick.
No, I know, but everybody always says that. Oh, I'd rather have Kaepernick long. This guy, he wins games and he doesn't turn the football over. That's what he does.
And Andy Reid got Andy Reid wanted him quickly. And when Andy Reid wants you that fast, there must be something to you, right? I mean, that guy knows at least one thing you know about Andy Reid because of his time with Green Bay and the amount of time he spent in Philadelphia. He's a pretty good talent evaluator.
He knew. He said, "I need that guy." I
mean, he looks terrible in red.
Oh yeah, he does. Not Santa Claus.
He looks like he has a funky hat. He has the Bobby Ross thing, though.
Right. Bend the brim. See how mine is look. This is my Columbia hat. See how it's nice and brimmed up.
Now we got to hold on here though. Cleveland and the Lions next week. You got to make the pick. You got the Browns at Cleveland. Now, on my sheet, my line-by-line sheet, don't forget, let's go back to this. I had Green Bay as a loss, as it should be. 22-9 was the final, so I got that one out there. On my sheet, I've got the Lions beating the Browns on the road. So on my 5-11 sheet, even though they stand right now at 3-2, on my little thing that I do in August, I've got that as a win. So now Brian Hoyer is out. Hoyer, Michigan State, had made a nice little thing, a little couple of games, 5 touchdown passes, came out of the Thursday game. He's probably out, what did he say, out for the season. So Brandon Whedon came back in. Cleveland still got the win over Buffalo, 37-24. I have it as a W. So I'm giving you Lions people, you Lions fanatics, you Lions peeps, I'm giving you the W on the road. I think they go to Cleveland and win. What say you, Robert Lee Paca Jr.?
I mean, I assume that they are. Do I know if Calvin Johnson's playing next week? I don't know.
Even if it's a yay or nay, is it that big a difference with Cleveland?
Yeah. Yep. I got to see if Calvin's playing. If he's not, Mark, with the receivers
right,
that they have.
If Calvin Johnson's out, go that route.
Then I'm picking Cleveland.
You're picking Cleveland. If he plays?
I'm picking the Lions. It's just that simple. From what I saw today, and I'm not saying Cleveland's deep. Cleveland's been playing actually better of late.
Well, they're playing great.
I'm just saying.
Haven't played the best competition, but they won their game.
And Mark, the other thing, before we ever get into a thing where you just assume the Lions win road games, I don't care who they're playing, look over the history of this team franchise in the last 10 years.
This is the only road game I have them winning this season. Okay. I have them winning one.
But they won the one already in Washington. That's
the only hitch in my giddy up on my sheet so far. And remember, my sheet says 5-11.
Right.
This is not the difference between 11 or 12 wins. My sheet of 5-11 is right now off by one, and that's the Washington win. Because I've gotten everything else right so far, and that's the ball game. Denver wins 51-48.
What is this?
99 points.
AFL?
It's an old Denver Bronco AFL game.
It's funny.
Frank Trepuka was quarterback.
Talking to Texan with Ron Rice.
Frank Trepuka.
And just talking about
how
many points. It's a passing league. That's all it is now. It's unbelievable what the league has turned into.
Yeah, because there's so few Adrian Peterson types.
And there's so many great quarterbacks.
So many great quarterbacks. Everybody's got one except Jacksonville. Jacksonville Jaguars are the one team that can't find a quarterback to save their
life. And it won't be Tim Tebow.
All right, so we know where you stand, and we know where we stand now with make your own picks for the Lions and the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland next Sunday. Coming up, we'll do a little business with college football. We'll do this suing of Major League Baseball by both A-Rod and Albert Pujols now. And Pujols isn't suing Major League Baseball. He's suing you-know-who, and we'll talk about that for a little bit. Pistons open the preseason on Tuesday. We'll talk a moment about that. And I want to bring up something with college hockey to Robin to see what his thoughts are on this. So are you ready for that?
All right, we'll do that. But first, this commercial for Sporty
commercial.
Cuts. For Sporty Cuts. On 7 Mile and Outer Drive, 7 Mile Outer Drive between Outer Drive and Myers, Mark, for the best $10 all-even haircuts, you could go to Sporty Cuts right there, 7 Mile Road. How's that?
I like it. It's not just barbecue, it's Boomer Q. We're talking Billy Sims Barbecue. The legendary Heisman Trophy running back of the Detroit Lions has scored big with his succulent, mouth-watering brisket, ribs, pulled pork, and chicken. Sides like coleslaw, baked beans, and okie toast will complete your fantastic feast. Two easy locations, on Telegraph near 10 Mile, and in Lincoln Park at Dixon Evans. Billy Sims Barbecue. And yes, I'll say it again, it's Boomer Q. Okay, then, back to the podcast action. And you want to listen to the podcast every week at parkerandtheman.com. And don't forget, you can email us if you have anything to email us. We're going to do that contest thing coming up, too, Rob Balka, eventually here, where we give away some ESPN Detroit T-shirts, since I have a boatload of those left. Don't forget, NBC Sports Radio Detroit will come up with some of that swag, too, once they finally ever send me any of it. But anyhow, you can email us at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. That's what we have right now. We got other emails, but you can go with that one. Parkerandtheman, one word, at yahoo.com. Mark and Rob on, this is, by the way, the week of October 7th. So you got both college teams back in action after they both played on Saturday, following a little bye week action when they both were off, which was unusual. But an easy win for Michigan on Little Brown Jug Day. Kind of sad that Jerry Kill, the head coach at Minnesota, could not be there. Another seizure. I don't know how, Rob, seriously. If I were Minnesota, I would say, Jerry, we'll pay you. We'll do whatever we can, but you can't do this anymore.
It's not being mean. It's just it's
for his
just
own health.
His health, and then to the kids, Mark. Don't you think it's pretty traumatic?
I do.
I think it's traumatic.
You see, your coach sees on the sidelines now, what, three times in Minnesota. He seized when he was at Northern Illinois, and I think he had these seizures at Saginaw Valley, too, when he coached there. He's a great dude. Everybody loves Jerry. But, man, he can't even go coach a game because he's got a seizure going on. I mean, I don't know. So, anyhow, 42-13 was the final score. Fitz Toussaint had a couple of touchdowns. Derek Green got in the action at touchdown.
They were very conservative early. I mean,
there's no big numbers.
Running the football.
Well, Devin Funchess had 7 catches, 151 and a touchdown. Devin Gardner was efficient.
What I'm saying, the first half, it just didn't seem like they were content with running the football.
10 of 13 on third down, only 2 penalties, though, and that's what Brady Hoke's thing is. Convert your third down plays and don't screw it up. Don't F it up with the penalties.
It's so much about third down conversions, Mark. You know that. That's the big number.
You know, somehow even with the Akron game and with the Connecticut game, which, of course, Paul Pasqualoni got fired pretty much after that game because they got a new coach, and the new coach actually is from Bay City, Michigan, their new head coach at UConn, but they survived that. And they're 5-0. They survived these weird games where you thought they were going to lose to two teams that were well under what their capacity was to beat a Michigan football team. Still could have lost those two games, and they've come out unscathed at 5-0. I mean, Brady Hoke, better to be lucky than good sometimes, because I don't think that team is that good right now. But they still come away with victories, and that's the beauty of sports.
But to me,
you said it's a short menu.
Right? No, it is. I would say that it's wins and losses. Those are the only two things on the menu.
So who cares how close it was against Akron?
No, I know. But when you look at those games, they just don't impress you. You know, when you get Mark that Akron game, you know you have one of your captains stand up there and say we're embarrassed. You know you should never be embarrassed about winning, but they also know that they were lucky. Am I right? They were about to have one of those embarrassing losses on their record. Brady Hoke and people, the alumni, would have fallen out of love with Brady Hoke, Mark, if they would have lost that game to Akron at the Big House. Yes or no?
Yes, but the problem is they fell out of love at the end with Lloyd because he lost to Appalachian State. They fell out of love with Rich Rodriguez because he lost to Toledo.
No, I know.
This guy doesn't lose the games, though.
No, he didn't lose. I'm just saying, you still say.
I think they would have fallen out of love with him.
Oh,
I think they love Brady
Hoke. Would have been like, I don't know about this non-headset wearing coach.
Now I'll tell you what they sacrifice. I'll tell you what the penalty is, what the collateral damage is for those two games. You don't want to know what it is? You just beat a Big Ten school that I think was what was Minnesota 3-1, 4-1, whatever. 4-1.
4-1.
You just beat a Big Ten school in your conference, okay? And yes, there weren't a lot of upsets in the top 25. I think there was barely any, except for teams that played each other. And you gained one spot in the top 25. So there's no respect for Michigan, like you said, to go from, 19 to 18. So there's no way they can get into the mix here, it seems,
no, because
for the BCS.
Even with the wins, you keep talking about them winning, people just look at them and go, okay.
It's a 5-0 Michigan team that's 18th in the country. Ohio State is the only Big Ten school that is keeping their standing. And, of course, they played a hell of a game with Northwestern.
And they haven't lost, though, in 2 years.
Dude, what's it, 18 straight?
He's 18-0 since...
For Urban?
Right. I thought he was a black coach when we first, you know, Urban. Shouldn't it be Suburban?
Mind? Well, you changed the name to Urban Planning.
Okay, then, I got you.
Or Urban Blight. And then,
then you've got
that problem. All right, so Michigan, 42-13 winners, but they don't gain much ground in the AP Top 25 poll. Now, Michigan State went to Iowa City. We both thought they were going to lose. We thought Iowa would somehow, some way, find a way to win. Really wasn't close. Connor Cook played very well, a couple touchdown passes. Darquise Denard had a couple of picks.
That was a good win for Michigan State.
It was an excellent win for State. Anytime you beat Kirk Ferentz at Niall Kinnick.
Especially up there. They don't normally do well there. Is there a streak?
I don't know, but
they don't play well up there. I've known in the past that they've lost games.
And I want to bring this up, and you know how this factors in, Rob. Phil Parker, your brother Phil, is the defensive coordinator at Iowa. Played all 4 years at MSU. Good friend of mine, Phil Parker. I'm glad to see that he's got this opportunity to be the defensive coordinator at Iowa. You know when you're playing your alma mater, any which way but loose, you want to win that game. And really, again, I got to tell you, Mark D'Antonio, good game plan, had the fake punt that got, 25 yards.
He's always good for some chicanery.
Mike Sadler did a nice job with that, yeah. And then Michael Geiger, 4 field goals. They finally may have found another field goal kicker. And they had almost 15 more minutes of possession time than Iowa did. Iowa had 23 rushing yards. And that's been their staple. I mean, ever since Chuck Long left, I mean, basically a running club. Mike Wiseman's been terrific. They could not run on State's defense at all. It is, some of you look at that State defense, sometimes you go, you know, if you had any offense at all, you might actually have something going there. And that's going to be their Achilles heel the rest of the season, is can they generate enough offense to match how good this defense can be at times?
And that is the big question, because, Mark, if they could, they would be seriously considered for, you know, moving up in the rankings or whatever, being a team that people took seriously. But the offense is so questionable, shaky, so much more shaky as the offense is as weak as the defense is strong. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it just negates it almost.
This wasn't a coming out party for Connor Cook. It was a good effort on the road that he needed a signature win. For Connor Cook right now is a win at Iowa, even though Iowa's not great. They're not ranked. Didn't do anything great, but they didn't come away stupidly. Remember last year they had the stupid game against Iowa. They've had many stupid games against Iowa in the past, and this one was, in fact, George Blaha. I was up in East Lansing for the reunion. Shout out to all the reunion peeps. Give him a shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out to reunion peeps. And there was a Tarzan and Jane party going on across the street. Dude, you got to see this to believe it. The chicks and the dudes are all dressed like Tarzan and Jane.
Old dudes dressed like that?
No, it was young. No, it wasn't our reunion. It was across the street at one of the houses.
Okay, all right.
We were right in center campus, and there was...
Okay, dude. I got it. I was just going to say. Stop.
Dude, I'm telling you.
You feel like an old man, didn't
a
you?
Little, like
a dirty old man.
A little, except that you should have seen the chicks.
You don't have to tell me. Okay. I'm sure. It's a college campus. I get
doing
it.
Their thing. Up 30 slashing, making me very proud. Making a Spartan very proud. But I was listening to Blaha at the end of the game. Couldn't have been more bored. I've never heard George Blaha more bored with a thing. Couldn't wait for that damn thing to end. And it was just dragging on at the end. Ferentz was calling every timeout. And they were still 12 points down. And they were at the 3-yard line. And they had their own 3, not even the Spartans' 3. Had no shot of coming back to win at that point. But let's get to the picks for this week. Because both games were kind of nothing. Both got wins. No issues. Michigan plays at Penn State. 5 o'clock on ESPN, the Spartans play Indiana at home at Spartan Stadium, noon ESPN2. So you got these two games. Here's Penn State. You don't know which Penn State shows up. O'Brien's done he was Big Ten Coach of the Year after doing what he did and enduring all that he did when he took over for Joe Pa after the death. And, of course, the Sandusky, horrifying Sandusky story. And now Michigan goes to Penn State. What do you think happens there?
Good question. I think it's time for them to lose. I think they're going to lose to Penn State.
You know, I don't know if that would even be an upset.
Not based on anything, but just based on they kind of dodged a bullet a couple of times this year. It's one of those games, Mark.
You think it's a trap game for them?
Yeah, I do. I really do. coming off of a nice win against Minnesota. I just think
freshman quarterback at Penn State. He's proven to be pretty good, but still a freshman.
No, I got you.
Facing probably the hardest competition you'll see so far this season.
But sometimes I just think, you've dodged a few bullets, you go to Penn State, and you lose.
Well, I'm going to a little something for Devin Gardner here. Devin, you got to show me on the road now. Here's what your next charge is. We got it. You're the starting quarterback at Michigan. We're good with that. Denard Robinson is long gone. He's playing for a terrible football team in Jacksonville, Florida. You got to now show me on the road you can control the football, you don't make stupid mistakes. I know we're saying this about Devin Gardner, but it's true. And try to have a game where, I know I'm saying this and it's going to sound very kind of novice and nothing, but can we have a game where you don't turn the ball over? Because it doesn't happen in the Devin Gardner world.
You should have a clean game, just a clean game. Play, be smart, handle the football, Mark. Don't force the issue on passes. Just have a clean football game.
And now where do you go with MSU at Indiana? Indiana, you know what? God bless them.
At least they have a basketball program.
Is that right? Kevin Wilson over there?
They have a basketball
program. Hey, yeah, Tommy Crean's got a little basketball.
Are you playing basketball or football?
Sorry. Basketball practice is underway on the campuses, but it's a football game. I would say, again, to Connor Cook, if you're the starting quarterback now and you got a team that you know you can blow out, now it's time for a blowout.
They get blown out?
Get blown out. I think it's time. I know Indiana has an offense that can generate some muster every so often. Not bad. But Indiana has a terrible track record coming in. I don't know when the last time Indiana won in East Lansing. It might be the 60s. I'm not being funny. It might be the year that Johnny Pont took Indiana to the Rose Bowl. I think it was 68. I can't remember a time when Indiana ever beat Michigan State at home. That's another one to look up, Rob. It might literally have been since 68 since they've beaten Michigan State at home. I don't think there's been a home win for Bill Mallory.
And even then, that win really didn't count because I think people who were rioting in 68 just got put a uniform on and they beat Michigan State.
They were rioting?
Through the riots.
Through the riots of 68. Are we both good with a Spartan win over Indiana?
I think so. Let's book that.
Let's book that. Other college football. Only thing I really had written down in my notes was that Michigan only went up to the 18th spot. Only three Big Ten teams in the top 25. What do you make of that? Just Ohio State at number 4. Again, we talked about them still being unbeaten. Great game with Northwestern. Wildcats fell to 19 and Michigan at 18. Just three teams out of their 12.
About right.
I think the SEC has 7.
Yeah.
The ACC actually has 5.
That's about right. I don't anybody else you pushing from the Big Ten?
Probably not.
To be there?
I was trying quickly to go. No, they're still in the getting votes section.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I don't see that.
No, the one loss was to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame isn't back in the top 25 yet, even though they beat Arizona State, who had knocked off USC and got rid of Lane Kiffin. That was the team, the Sun Devils. And I give it up to Missouri and Northern Illinois, finally in the top 25 at 5-0. All right, Red Wings first week. I want to get to that real quick. How about this? This weekend, what happened 30 years ago yesterday? See if you can come up with it. 30 years ago yesterday has to do with the Red Wings.
The Wings drafted Steve Yzerman.
Steve Yzerman's first game.
Okay. You know what, Mark? You said I had no idea. I just took something with Steve Yzerman. I just 30 years of trying to figure it all out. All right.
1983, October 5th.
The draft, I'm thinking it is October, so that probably wouldn't be right.
In a 6-6 tie with the old Winnipeg Jets, Steve Yzerman made his National Hockey League debut at the age of 18.
What about Dan Petrie's son scoring a goal for Edmonton last night?
Well, Jeff is just a good player.
I know, but I'm just saying.
He's a defenseman, but.
But he scored a goal last night. I didn't even realize that's the first father and son. Baseball and hockey?
Hockey, yes.
Ever?
Oh, but Jeff's been in the league now for a bit of time. Went to Michigan State, right, Jeff Petrie.
I was just like, really?
I remember when Peaches, when he knew that Jeff favored hockey over baseball.
Yeah.
It was like, I talked to him. It was like that day or something. Nah, Jeff's going to go play in Can-Am or he's not going to play baseball. And I could see that there was a little twinkle in the sense that I think he knew Jeff had the talent to play in the NHL. But he was a little amiss that Jeff was going to pick that. I bet you Jeff's a pretty good baseball player. We just don't know that. You know what I mean?
There's so many, Mark, when you think of all the kids who are playing and their dads played, it's amazing now. Used to be once in a blue moon, you know what I mean? But now.
Oh, he picked the right sport.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's anchoring that Edmonton defense. Not that that's so hot, but he's still the anchor in that Edmonton D.
I want to see Popeye Jones' son play this year.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's another one, right? Another sport, yeah.
African-American from the United States, Mark, not from Canada.
Not from Canada.
And he's, what, fourth overall pick?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. So 30th anniversary, happy anniversary, Steve Yzerman, down in Tampa now, of course, is the GM of the Lightning. Wings start 2-1. They got the first two wins. They beat the Buffalo Sabres at Joe Louis to open the season. Won at Carolina with that great game. Henrik Zetterberg scoring in the final seconds to tie the Hurricanes. And then Steven Weiss with his first Red Wing goal in overtime to win it. Started off 2-0 and then went out and lost to Boston. I think that's what we're going to see a lot of. I think it'll be a lot of win one, lose one, win two, lose one, win one, lose two. I'm not so sure, Rob, and I'm going to say this right now. I'm not so sure the Wings are that much better than a little bit above 500 team for the entire regular season. This ain't 44 games in 99 days this year. This is the full 80. This is the full shot. And I'll be surprised if the Wings win more than 40 games. Would you?
Yes. I think that's about where they are, about a 500 team.
Maybe for the not a 100-point team anymore.
No, I think this is definitely like changing of the guard, Mark. They did come on late last year, made the playoffs, had a nice run. But I don't think anybody's kidding themselves. A lot of things went well for them, especially at the end, to be able to make that run. But it's, I don't think look at this team as a team that's going to
Well, I know that there are some people that still say, okay, I've seen the Alfredson act. I've seen Steven Weiss now. They needed to sign something better defensively. Danny DeKeyser will be fine. You know, he'll be okay. Good young player. Played at Western Michigan and all that. But I think they wanted a bigger splash in the offseason than just a 40-year-old Alfredson and a Steven Weiss who never made anybody better with the Florida Panthers. And I think that's going to be where Ken Holland is going to have to come in, Rob. And this might be a year where he has to do his damnedest to get something done at the trade deadline, which he hasn't had to do in the past 20 years for the most part. He really hasn't had to use the trade deadline, do you think?
No. But this might be the year. I always remember, what was the year when they got all those big-time players at the...
Well, when they got Brett, and they got Luke Robitaille and all those guys.
Yeah.
It was before the 02 Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
Those were all free agent signings, though,
right,
for the most part.
No, I know. It was.
All right, I want to get to these stories. I think they're really cool.
Yeah, let's knock these out.
Okay. Alex Rodriguez, suing baseball and Bud Selig. Where do you go with that?
I think he's smart to do it, only from the standpoint of when you pay a witness to testify, to bring up dirt or testify against somebody, you don't pay witnesses. I'm sorry. You should threaten that guy, the Biogenesis situation. Threaten him, Mark, with you know, lawsuits or something that he has to come forward with the information. But you don't pay a dirty guy.
Well, here's what I wanted to say about it. You know, we made a big deal about when Jose Canseco wrote the book and none of the guys that he accused of doing steroids went back and sued him. And I'm thinking of Pudge Rodriguez being one of them. Pudge was mentioned in the book by Canseco. And I always said, if you really want to get back at a guy, sue him. Prove to me that you had nothing to do with anything. If you're really going to take this stance, you got money. You can lawyer up. Go find yourself a good attorney. And one else dude can get that done.
And the other thing, too, with the A-Rod thing, Mark, and let's just be sincere. If you pile all this stuff on, right, what do you think baseball eventually is going to do? Let's come to the table. Let's get a settlement. Let's work this out. You don't want to go through court. You want to drag Bud Selig in there and say that you paid for this guy who's a criminal and who's doing all this stuff. You paid for information. You paid for information. You know, it looks really, really bad on baseball's part. So Alex loads this up, and then eventually they come to the table and say, okay, and then, you know,
50 games.
50 games, Mark, and that's where it winds up going. And they tried to get that other. And the same thing, people say, oh, he shouldn't play and do this. Well, if the Yankees have issue, write the check for $80 million and release him. End of story, right?
Well, write the check for $80 million.
Well,
kind of glossed over that one.
No, but I'm just saying, if you're so bent out of shape, how come Nelson Cruz got a big standing ovation when he came back?
Speaking of the Yankees, what do you think will happen real quick? Joe Girardi, already been offered a deal by the Yanks.
He'll be back.
The Cubs have said they will make him the highest paid manager in the game. What would you do if you're Joe Girardi?
They don't have the pieces. I mean, I know you want to manage that in your hometown, but why can't you do that after this deal?
We don't know if it'll be available. Maybe someone will make the next manager of the Cubs.
It might be the greatest manager ever. Sounds like he likes being a Yankee manager because he could have just
said. So when it's all said and done, you think he's staying in New York?
I think so.
I got to mention the Jack Clark thing. Albert Pujols has filed a lawsuit in St. Louis County against Jack Clark, the former St. Louis Cardinal slugger, for lack of another word, hitter, former player, only played there a little bit, played for the Giants for a while too. Obviously, Jack Clark had a pretty good career, hit about 300 plus homers. And Clark is the guy who on his radio show said that Albert Pujols He knows for a fact, that was the quote, that Pujols has done steroids, and it was told to him either 10, 15 years ago, some crazy number, whenever Pujols started in baseball, by the St. Louis Cardinals trainer. He claims that the trainer told him. Now, the trainer has denied anything, so I didn't tell him anything. He says, this will all come out. Now, Pujols says, I'm going to prove it to you again. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to show you that I'm not hiding on this. And this is what he wants. He doesn't even want money. I haven't seen a money figure. He wants a declaration and determination that Clark's statements are false.
And what he wants is to save his chance of going into the Hall of Fame and doesn't want to be. This is what this is all about. Seriously. But you got to be careful, Mark, when you go into these things. Remember, Roger Clemens got caught up in this as well. Remember that? He's the one who forced the issue, who wanted to go in front of Congress. So you got to be careful. You can't lie under oath. So Albert Pujols better not be pulling the monkey around, because when you get in a court of law, do you know what I'm saying, Mark? And you start making statements that is totally false and blah, blah, blah. And if somebody comes with a smoking gun,
you think they've asked that question, Albert? Is there anybody out there that would know anything, including that trainer guy?
That's what I'm saying. Who could come out?
There will be depositions.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I'm assuming if you're going that route. But remember, Roger Clemens almost got caught up in that too. So I'm just saying, sometimes more.
So you said not all that glitters is gold. Pujols could still be wrong here and not realize what could happen to him.
Right.
By filing the suit.
You just better not have anybody, Mark, who's going to come out of the woodwork.
Because you know what that would mean for Jack Clark? He'd go right back and sue
radio station that fired him, and that's what I'm saying.
I mean, he lasted 1 week as a talk show host.
And it would be a mess. So.
All right, final thing, because I know you got crap to do, and you got to get moving here. Pistons open the preseason against Maccabi Haifa at the Palace.
Gesundheit.
I believe this is an Israeli basketball team that's coming in. They're pretty good, actually, I hear. And we get to see our first look at Jennings. Is this the starting lineup for sure? Let's go with this. Jennings, Billups, Smith, Monroe, Drummond. Would you say that's a starting lineup?
No, Billups. Billups.
No, Chauncey's listed as a starter.
I don't know.
Why? What do you think?
They don't want to burn him out, Mark.
That's my starting lineup, okay. But that's also the one that's listed right now. Jennings, Billups.
Well, you know what? Maybe
Smith, Monroe, and Drummond. KCP?
Well, maybe they put that in there because
KCP's not going to start as a
rookie, but Mark, they say he's a really good player.
He's a good player.
But all I'm saying is maybe you don't want to just give him the job. Do you know what I'm saying? And if he has a good training camp and
I want to make Chauncey earn the job, or are you talking about KCP earn it?
KCP. Oh. So you don't just automatically say it's his job. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I totally think, but I think that's the way of the world in the NBA anyhow. I want to make Caldwell Pope earn that position, even though he is a high draft pick. But that doesn't mean so much in the NBA anymore. I like the fact that it's going to be Jennings, Billups, Smith, Monroe, Drummond, with Stuck, KCP, Singler, Charlie V, Bynum, and Jarebko off the bench. I don't think that's bad. I think, to me, that's interesting. To me, I'm going to pay a nickel and a half to go watch those guys do that. I think you've got a team now. I told you, I'm still suspect about the chemistry and the mix of the playing group. But I think I got a team now that I would be willing to drive to the Palace.
I agree.
Watch play basketball.
I agree with that. I think that when you look at it, it could be entertaining. And you know,
whether it's Chauncey or KCP.
I asked Josh Smith who's he excited to play with. And, you know, the Drummond. Mark, he just turned 20.
Yeah, but that whole thing with that chick is just still bothering me.
What who?
The chick from iCarly.
Oh.
You know, her mother passed.
No, did she?
Her mother died. The chick from iCarly, who Drummond is seeing, her mother just passed.
Wow.
I don't know. It's been something. All right, have you had some fun?
Always. Always. Okay. Can't wait till next week.
I bet you can't. So the Heat will be at the Palace on Thursday. Is all the guys coming? D. Wade and LeBron, are they coming?
Oh, I'm sure they'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just checking. And then on the road for four straight, that's the we'll get to the college hockey thing I want to do next podcast. So this week with Maccabi Haifa and the Miami Heat at the Palace, then four on the road for the Pistons. That's our podcast. My name's Mark. Oh, wait, how are we doing this again?
He's Rob Parker.
And he is the man, Mark Wilson. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat podcast.
Give me the NBC thing, too. Come on, man.
NBC, you later.